Someone said that Christianity is the transformation of rebels into worshipers. You and I were once the enemies of God, but now we've been called out of darkness into the light. We are now called out from this world and called unto the Lord, and He desires that we continually offer to Him our praise and our worship. For He, the Lamb that was slain, is worthy of our worship. He who created all things is worthy to be praised. The Apostle Peter reminds us in 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10, of that wonderful change that took place in your life and in mine if we're saved. There we read, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in times past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." This morning, as we continue to study the theme of worship, we want to continue on to consider more of the elements that we find in our worship. We began this series by looking at what we call the essence of our worship. Now we are working through the various elements that belong in our worship to the Lord. So far, what we have seen, and I'll take a few moments just to review, is that worship, first of all, begins with a heart prepared for worship. God would have our heart prepared that we take the time to make sure that as we enter into the house of God, there to come to worship, that we are prepared to simply do that, to worship Him. That means that we take the time to set aside our distractions and the other things which seem to pull us away from the primary focus of our service, which is the Lord, and our focus of offering to Him the worth that He is worthy of. And then last week we considered the thought of our praise and the importance that you and I would sing and give to God our praise. We're able to do that by one body, one spirit, with one voice as we sing with our hearts unto the Lord. And so we know that praise ought to be a part of our worship. This morning, what we want to consider is the theme of prayer. The theme of prayer. Part of our worship is to be a time of prayer. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're going to consider this morning for a portion of our time. We're going to look at verses 9 through verse 13. I actually want to begin reading in verse 5 if we could. We'll read down through verse 13 and then we'll have a word of prayer. The Lord Jesus here speaking says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathens do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him. After this manner pray, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen." Let's pray together, please, as we begin our time and our study of this portion of God's Word. Father, we thank You that we can now come to You at this time seeking Your help, seeking Your guidance and Your wisdom as we enter into Your Word. Lord, we thank You that You have preserved for us this Word, that, Lord, we might grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior, that we might be conformed to the image of Your Son, and that as we gather together, we might learn what it means to truly worship You. Lord, we desire that as a congregation, as a people, as individuals and as families, that as we gather to worship, that our worship to you would be sweet, that it would be precious, and Lord, that it would be precious in our eyes as well. For we have gathered together to meet with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of heaven and earth, and our Savior, who gave His life a ransom for us. So Lord, I pray today that you would be our teacher and our guide as we consider these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we continue to look at the elements of worship, and as we now look at the thought of prayer, I want to begin this morning by considering a unique perspective. Prayer offers to us, as part of our worship, a unique perspective. As we stated last week, each element in worship is essential. Yet not all elements are going to hold equal space in every given service. Most of us have really no problem singing a few hymns in each service. We have no problem of listening to special music, whether sung by the choir or whether that be sung by those who perform special music before a message is preached. You know, if you would consider how much time is given to praise in a service, you would understand that we probably spend around 35 to 40% of any given service to the concepts of praise, the concepts of singing. Most of us don't have a problem with that. We participate in it. But I think many of us would struggle if 35% of our time in service was given to public prayer, where someone would lead us in prayer and we would sit there with our heads bowed and we would listen. Some of us would even struggle to remain awake through a time such as that. The reality is, not every aspect of our worship is going to have an equal amount of time. But each one is important. Each one is necessary. Most of us would probably admit this morning, we probably wouldn't want to say it out loud, but in our mind, we would probably admit something like this. Prayer, or public prayer, is not the most exciting part of any worship service. What's the hardest service for you to attend in any week? A lot of times it's Wednesday night prayer meeting. Well, I don't really like sitting there listening to other people pray. I don't feel comfortable. It's not the most exciting time for us when we come. It's not easy for folks to want to give up that first 15 minutes at 6 o'clock to go sit in men's prayer or ladies' prayer. It's not the most exciting event of our week. But it is essential. And it's a unique element in our service. It provides a unique perspective. Music is the expression of our praise, but it's written for us. Most of us do not have the skill to sit down to be able to write music, whether that be the notes that go with the words or the lyrics that be used with the notes. The reality is, that's not our skill set. We don't have the ability to create music. We enjoy that for which other people have done for us. We have a hymnal filled of those who have been given a gift or ability by God to put their thoughts, their expressions in words that can be set to music, that can be sung by a congregation. We as one voice can sing together those songs provided to us, and we can lift our voice in praise to Him. David wrote many psalms that the people of Israel were able to sing. And that's an important part, but most of us have really no part in the music except to sing, which is already provided for us. When we come to the time of preaching of God's Word, we're instructed from one who has taken the time, who has studied the Word of God, who breaks down the truth of the Word of God into digestible portions and then applies them to our heart. Again, in many ways, that is passive on your part and my part. We are to give attention and to read. Some of you will take notes and go through it. But the reality is, you didn't take the time throughout the week to digest those portions of Scripture and to put it into the outline. That's been done for you. Prayer is another perspective, though, as it comes to our worship together. Because prayer is a unique in that we can freely express our heart before the Lord. When someone leads us in prayer, whether that be myself as the pastor or another individual that is called upon, that is an opportunity for that person to freely express their heart to the Lord. We don't come in and give to the ushers and say, listen, you're going to be praying today. Memorize the script before you come to the front. This is what I want you to pray about the offering today. I didn't give Vern a little script today and say, now listen, you stand there with it. It's right there on the backside of the plate. As you hold it, you can just read it off. We don't do that. We don't have a book of common prayers that we go through. Prayer is the expression of my heart to the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to freely express that which God has laid upon our heart. Praise and preaching don't provide every individual the opportunity to personally express their heart. Prayer gives us that opportunity. It's our opportunity to share with the Lord that which is upon our heart. And what a tremendous privilege is afforded to us when we can come and stand in the presence of the Lord and there to be able to express our heart to Him. How precious it is to consider that we as a group can be led in that heartfelt expression as we gather with the purpose that we might worship the Lord our God. Question is, how do we incorporate that into our services of worship? Is there some pattern that we need to consider when we pray? Well, I think Matthew chapter 6 gives us an unequivocal pattern in prayer. We've opened our Bibles there. We want to look at what we commonly call the Lord's Prayer. At the outset, as we consider this passage for a few moments, let me remind you of this thought. The Lord never intended that this prayer simply be given to be repeated by His people. I believe that as you look at the Lord's Prayer, we find a pattern for our prayer life. I think we know that it's a pattern for a couple reasons. I want you to look with me, if you would, at verse 9 there. The Lord Jesus said, pray after this manner. The question comes, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching on prayer. Here in Matthew 6, He is teaching His disciples how to pray. He says, when you pray, pray after this manner. He does not say pray this prayer. He is giving to them a pattern of prayer. Pray after this manner. If you were to turn over to Luke's account, Luke expresses this thought. Luke shares with us that this prayer is taught after a request of the apostles, after they have watched Him in prayer, and one would rise up and say, Lord, teach us how to pray. And then he says, pray after again this manner. Lord, we want to pray like You pray. Teach me how to pray. The apostles didn't ask, Lord, would You teach us a prayer to pray that we can repeat over and over and over again? Matter of fact, if you look back in Matthew chapter 6 there, we are told, verse 7, when you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they should be heard for their much speaking. He never intends for us to gather as a congregation and recite with us the Lord's Prayer. Ready together, our Father which art in heaven. That's not His intent. Now there are some denominations, there are some churches that do that. But folks, again, prayer is a matter of our worship. And prayer is a heartfelt expression that we offer unto the Lord. So the question is, what is this pattern in prayer? How are we to pray? By the way, this pattern applies, yes, to public prayer, which is our consideration this morning. It also applies to your private prayer. So what is the pattern then when we pray? Well, this psalm can be broken down, or this passage can be broken down into two basic sections. Two basic things that we are to cover in our prayer time, and each section can be broken down into two parts. The first section for us to consider as we look at the pattern of prayer is that prayer is to be an expression of our devotion. It is an expression of our devotion. What the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us here is that prayer begins with God. Look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye. Notice the focus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The emphasis and the focus of prayer begins with God. It is our expression of devotion unto Him. Again, I want to remind you that prayer is that personal expression of worship, and therefore the focus of worship is the person of God. Worship is not focused on man. Therefore, your prayer is not focused merely on your needs. Too often, prayer becomes about us. Too often, prayer becomes about the expression of my needs and my wants and my desires. But the Lord Jesus said, when you pray, begin with God. It's an expression, folks, of devotion. Prayer must begin with Him. This expression of devotion is seen, first of all, in the fact that we take the time to honor Him. Again, the Lord Jesus says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That phrase there, hallowed be thy name, is a reminder that He is holy. He is set apart from His creation. Folks, understand that when you come before the Lord and you pray to Him and you are offering your prayer and your expression of devotion, please be reminded to whom you are praying. You are praying to one in whom there is none like Him in all the earth. There is none like Him in majesty. There is none like Him in might. There is none like Him in glory and greatness. We honor the Lord when our prayer reflects upon His person. We think of His glory. We think of His greatness, His goodness, and His grace toward us. Folks, we are to begin our time of prayer in honor of who it is we have entered into His presence. There is none like the Lord so great and glorious, so good and gracious. Prayer begins with God. I'll remind you, Psalm 96 verse 8 says, we come before the Lord to worship, to give Him the glory due His name. And folks, when you and I pray, it is an expression of worship. It is an expression of our devotion. It is offering to Him the glory due unto His name. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed or holy is thy name. Reflect upon who the Lord is. Offer to Him the glory due His name. But the Lord Jesus goes on, it's not merely that we honor Him, it's also an expression that we will willingly obey Him. Look at verse 10, please. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. It is our prayer that His kingdom come, that His will be done. That's an expression of a submissive spirit on the part of the worshiper. We are coming before the Lord, expressing to Him our devotion. We are honoring Him for who He is, and we are placing ourselves in the right place, a place of submission. That He is the preeminent one, that it is His plans and His purposes and His path that we're to walk. We are coming expressing to Him that we submit willingly to Him. We will obey His will. As we pray, expressing that desire, we also realize again that all worship is centered on the Lord. And therefore, in prayer, we are seeking God's grace to enable us to live each day submitted to that will, to remain surrendered unto Him. Folks, you and I cannot be surrendered and submitted in our flesh. That takes the Spirit of God. It's as we walk in the Spirit, we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's not by our might, it's not by our strength, it's not by our wisdom, it's by His Spirit, saith the Lord, that we are able to do all things. And when I come, I am expressing my devotion to God. I am coming that I might honor Him, that I am saying, Lord, whatever Thy will be, I will obey You in all things. So when I come before the Lord, I express to Him my devotion. Prayer begins with Him. Privately and publicly, the thought ought to be God and God first. But there's a second part that the Lord shares with us, and that is an expression of our dependence. An expression of our dependence. Look at verse again, 11 through 13. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. Amen. It's an expression of our dependence. The Lord says it is right for us to come and lay before the Lord our petitions. Our God is our Heavenly Father, desires to do good unto us. He delights as a father delights to give unto his children. He has shown us His favor. Yet I want to remind you again that that's not all that prayer is. Prayer is not coming that I can simply get from God the things that I want. It begins with Him. It's an expression of devotion. And even as I lay my petition before the Lord, I am expressing that in these things, I'm dependent on Him. It's not, Lord, give me what I want apart from what Your will is, but Lord, this be my desire. I want Your will to be done. I need You to guide me, to lead me, to give me the wisdom, to give me the grace to accept Your will. And we are expressing our dependence on Him. He offers to us His benefits. What are those benefits? First of all, verse 11 tells us there are physical benefits that we ought to ask for. Give us this day our daily bread. Folks, you ought to be expressing to God the dependence upon Him to provide for your every need. By the way, why do you have the things that you have? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All that you own is the Lord's. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what you have, He has bestowed upon you. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore will shall not want. He leads me beside the still waters. He leads me to pastures green. He protects me through the valleys of death and darkness that I face. He provides me with a banquet with my cup runs over. And surely goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. It all comes from Him. We're dependent upon Him for our daily needs. Let's face it, in our society today, in the wealth of our society today, we've been all too accustomed that we provide for ourselves what we need. We have accomplished these things. We have done it all. God wants us to be reminded that we are dependent upon Him. So the Lord says, pray for those physical benefits. Give us this day our daily bread. But He also speaks of spiritual benefits. He asks for forgiveness of our debts as we forgive our debtors. He's asking that we not be led into temptation, but to be delivered from evil. In all of these requests, again, it's important to remember that the worship of God takes place as we recognize that we cannot live our life apart from Him. We are to acknowledge we are dependent upon the Lord. Therefore, we pray. We express our devotion to Him. We express our dependence upon Him. Before we move on to our final point here this morning, I want to again point out a very simple thought. In all of this, the greatest need in our prayer is a biblical and proper balance. Too often, all that we do when we pray is seek God's benefits in our lives. And yet we need to be properly balanced as we come before the Lord, because prayer is more than just asking of the Lord. As worship, it is the expression of our worth of Him. It expresses what we think of Him. So what is God to you in your prayer life? Is He merely someone that exists that He might give you every heart's desire? Or is He someone that you completely depend upon and you love and ask as a Heavenly Father to meet your needs, to rest in Him and trust in Him? Does your prayer show faith in Him? See, the Bible tells us that we as the just are to walk by faith, not by sight. That makes it hard, folks. It's not always easy. But sometimes we have changed what prayer is all about. And we've made the focus of prayer again ourselves. It's focused on me. It's on my needs. It's with my wants. But prayer is more than that. Prayer begins with God. It begins with our devotion and our submission, our willingness to honor Him and to obey. It is then a matter of my dependence upon Him. It is not merely that I get what I want. And even as we pray together as a church family, it's not that we simply get God's blessing for our service, but much more. It's oh that God will be brought into our presence, and there we would be able to meet with Him and learn of Him, to be taught of Him, and to grow in Him. Final thought I want you to see with me, that prayer is a unified process. It is a unified process. The reason prayer is so wonderful and so blessed, especially in the public format, is that prayer is able to unify the body of Christ. Some have wondered, how is public prayer any more valuable than private prayer? Some perhaps question whether or not there's any value in public prayer at all. So just how does public prayer work? What should we do? I remember sitting as a child in various services as we gathered to hear our church pray, and men would stand one after the other and they would pray and offer our petitions before the Lord. And sometimes I remember sitting there as a child, how much longer is this going to last? I didn't quite understand the value of such things. At times I would have to fight the urge to fall asleep, knowing that if I did, my parents wouldn't be all that pleased anyway. I have a tendency when I sleep, and I had it even when I was a child. My tendency is when I sleep, I snore. I remember as, I think it was a second or third grader, falling asleep. And you got to remember, we sat right where Joyce and them are sitting right now. But our auditorium was much larger. It went about 26 rows deep. About 1,000 people fit into our auditorium. And we were all the way up front. I was about second grade, maybe third grade. It was an evening service, and I fell asleep right next to my mom, right about where Carl is in the pew. I kind of laid over in the pew, and I began to snore. My mom slapped me. She did everything she could to wake me up. It was impossible. I was gone. After the service, as I walked out and I greeted the pastor, he kind of grabbed me and put me in a little chokehold and said, "Was I that boring that you slept?" I said, "I don't even know if I'm awake right now." He said, "I could hear you." He could hear me there. People in the balcony could hear me snoring. Sometimes it happens when we gather for prayer. My dad tells the story of his deacon's meeting. And as they were praying together around the table, one part of the meeting, the pastor was leading in prayer, and all the men grew silent because the pastor actually fell asleep in the middle of his prayer. They didn't know what to do. They were afraid if they woke him, they might startle him and he might have a heart attack. They were afraid if they left, he would wake up to the shock that the rapture had come and he was the only one left. So is there any value then in public prayer? Because let's face it, we struggle through it sometimes, don't we? You probably all have your similar stories to it. What do we do when we gather for the purpose of public prayer? prayer? What's the benefit of it? How is it for us a time of worship? We have a couple options when we gather and someone else leads in prayer. We can simply listen to that prayer as it's being prayed. I don't think that's necessarily our best means of worship together. Some would suggest that as they are praying, we ought to pray our own prayers alongside of them. That gives us more prayers to offer before the Lord. But if you open your Bible to Matthew chapter 18, I think there's a better solution for us. What do we do when we are being led publicly in prayer, whether that be on a Wednesday night through a prayer service, whether that be a special time that we dedicate time to prayer, whether that be as we open and close our services in prayer and have times of prayer throughout? What do we do as one sitting while someone else is leading us in prayer? What's the value of it? Look at Matthew 18. Look with me, if you would, at verse 19. And 20. It says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." What is the value of public prayer? The word "agree" there in verse 19 is a word that means to be in harmony or to give mutual consent. And the way that we agree is for all of us to actively participate, to pray along with the one who is leading us in prayer. That means that when we are gathered for public prayer, we are giving ourselves and our full attention to the expression of the heart of the one that is leading, and we are praying along with him. And we are giving to him our consent. We are in agreement mutually together that this would be our desire as a congregation. By the way, the word "amen" means "let it be so." And so the reality is, in public prayer, it is an opportunity for us, although one is leading us to that prayer, for us to actively participate, to be in agreement with, to give a consent with, and in harmony with the one who is leading us. So what's the benefit to that? Verse 19 tells us, again as you look at it, that if two or three of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done of them from the Father which is in heaven. God says he hears and he answers. There's another benefit. We often quote this at other settings. We feel, well, if we're just gathered together in his name, he's there. But it's also in the context of prayer, where two or three are gathered in my name. They are mutually agreed upon for the purpose of which they have gathered. He says, my presence is with them. Prayer can be a unifying process for us all. So what do we do in a time of prayer? We pray along with them in consent and agreement of heart. Public prayer is not the time for you to make up that grocery list or that little things you need to pick up on Walmart on the way home. It is not to run through all the things that you need to get done this week or whether or not dinner's going to be ready by the time you get home because someone's up there saying a few things and we're not really paying attention, and I hope he's done soon because if he prays too much longer, I'll probably fall asleep. Public prayer, folks, is a sweet and a precious time where we as a body gather together and we pray together, unified as one leads us through a heartfelt expression of devotion and dependence upon our God. It's a beautiful part of worship. Now, the reality is, folks, it doesn't have to be long. How long would it take you to pray the prayer that the Lord Jesus offered? It's relatively short. In fact, he at times rebuked, did he not, the Pharisees for their long, lengthy prayers that were just simply designed to draw attention to themselves. I remember as a teenager, there was one gentleman in our church, and when the pastor said, it's a time for prayer and asking two or three men to pray, I would always pray this silent prayer, Lord, please don't let him pray. I always knew it was a trouble because one would begin to lead and then I would see him. He would grab his Bible and he'd have a little notepad and he'd be flipping through and he'd be writing notes down and he was preparing a message to pray to us. And I thought, oh no, here we go. Folks, honestly, I sat through some prayers that were at least 15 to 20 minutes in length. There's an evangelist, his name is Jerry Savinsky. He actually preaches messages shorter than that man's prayers. And every time he prayed, it was to show everyone who he was and how much he knew and to draw attention to himself. And I used to think, someone just needs to sit him down. Because that's not what prayer is about. It begins with God. It's my devotion and my dependence expressed freely from my heart that God would do His will in His work, in His way among us. And we as a people can be unified together in a bond of peace and a spirit of love, that God would be able to do that which His will requires. And folks, when that happens, God says, I am in your midst and I will answer you. That's the value to public prayer. That's why it ought to be a part of our worship. It's not something that we just do because we have to do. It's an important element of our worship, like praise is, like preaching is, and as we're going to see tonight, like presentation or our giving is. That's actually going to be our study tonight. We're going to continue this thoughts and this series in our evening after we've had a time of communion tonight. And I think the two go very well hand in hand. But folks, that's why we come. We didn't gather today that we might receive. We didn't gather today that we might get. We came that we might offer to Him the glory that is due His name, to worship Him and say, Thou art worthy of what? My devotion. And Thou art worthy, and I am fully dependent upon You, and I express that through the avenue of prayer. Praise is my testimony to the Lord. Oh, of His goodness and His greatness. And we sing with joy in our hearts. But prayer is an opportunity for us to freely express what God means to us. He is great. He is gracious. He is good. He is filled with glory and majesty. He is worthy of our praise, worthy of our prayer. All of that must come from a heart prepared to worship Him. Pray with me, please, as we close.